On tonight's episode, a news story, 2024 special edition, go in the ditch, beach jeeps. And Chip has tantalizing tips for past jeeps.
Oh, tidbits, Tony, tidbits.
Okay, tips. I don't know why I was thinking tips. It was a little chilly recently there in the frozen food section of the store. Anyway, in our Jeep Gladiator update, Jeep tops clear freedom panels. And in our must-have stuff for your Jeep, silicone tape for your Jeep, not your girlfriend. I knew what you were going to say, Chip.
Well, hi, I'm Chip, and I'll be talking today a little bit about some tantalizing tidbits or fun facts or interesting.
Just the tip, Chip.
Just a couple little historical things to bring us up to speed on the history of Jeep.
So I just realized we have a perfect name for your segments. It'll be Chip's Tips.
Just the tip,
and other lies that other lies that Chip tells.
Thank God we got an explicit rating. I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It's too much fun not to have an explicit rating. I mean, we absolutely needed it when Chuck is on here because he drops those all those words that you learn in the military. Yes. Although I think he knew about it before the military because he's so well practiced at it. All right, so the 2024 special edition Jeeps. Have you heard about this before this, Chip?
No, I've watched the special editions. When we get into it, I mean, I've seen a lot of them. I think it's a nice draw to make a special edition, right? And when we get into it, I mean, I've got some interest in even, do you make clones using the decals of these or down the road?
Oh, yeah. So in a Car and Driver story, Jeep is offering 500 copies of a beach-style Jeep. Actually, two of them. One is the 4xe Wrangler and the Gladiator. Now, the Gladiator is only 250. So this will be a total of 750 special Jeeps. So and we're talking special in a good way, not like the kid down the street that your mom always wanted you to play with.
He's special. So I was looking up some of the things. Like, I think they made 1,000 of the Ruby Harris of the TJs, right? And those are numbered. Ruby Harris and
where do they number them? That's interesting. That I like that because they do that on photographs, like 1 of 1,000 and so on.
Yes,
and so forth.
No, so there's a plaque that sits, that little blank space right beside your buttons that are down just above your shifter. Accessory panel that's there. Just beside it, there's an unused square space that they'll put up. It looks brass in the pictures. I'm sure it's just paint, but it'll lumber it 1 through 1,000. And so people, there's Facebook pages just for the Ruby Hera because people are always like, wait, is it a Ruby?
I've never heard of that before. This is new information to me.
But then you've got, so when I was at Toledo, we saw the Islander Jeep, right? And the Islander package, and people were putting the Hawaiian tiki guys on it and decorating it with palm trees or palm branches. And so I like the special editions. I think in the previous episodes you were talking about some of the other, the Modern Warfare or Call of Duty.
Lara Croft that was part of the Lara Croft movie type thing.
Yeah, they had several of those, and then they people were doing the Jurassic Park ones, and then Greg was even encouraged me. I was trying to make my LJ that I recently got into something, and he said, "Hey, you could put a Golden Eagle kit on it." And I'm like, well, but it wasn't a Golden Eagle. And he said, well, that was just a package that you buy that was basically stickers, a little bit better seats, stickers on the hood and stickers on the side panel there right above the Jeep logo. So it was just the cosmetic aspect. There wasn't like special axles or special transmissions or anything in the drivetrain that was modified.
Right, and that sounds like what they're doing here with these beach Jeeps. And what's your feeling on these things? Is this something that you're interested in? Whenever you see stuff like this, I mean, you may not buy one, but does it give you? Is it something that you're interested in? Like, wow, I'd like to have this edition.
So the Ruby Hera, I saw one listed on Facebook. It was I think they're selling it. It's got like 90,000 miles on it, and they're wanting $25,000. So some of those are collectible, but the Ruby Hera had all the bells and whistles, right? versus some of them that are just more of a cosmetic. I think those are collectible things that people would like to have.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to have it? Bought it brand new. You were the only owner of it. And that's what we're talking about with these things. I mean, these are, I don't know if they're fancy enough or notable enough to warrant the price tag. But these, the 4xE and the Gladiator, so I find it interesting that with the poor sales of Gladiators right now, Jeep is willing to produce a special version of both these vehicles and the Gladiator. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think they should. I love my Gladiator, and I'd buy it again.
It's marketing, right? I mean, so if you want to feel a little bit special, a little bit different, I mean, obviously there are a lot of aftermarket modifications, your bumpers, winches, whatever you want to add, right? Upgrades. Think about the 392. People scrambled to buy 392s, especially when they heard they were being discontinued. Some people probably will put those in a barn and put them up on blocks.
That'd be nice.
Have no miles.
Yeah. And wait for Marty McFly to show up. I know I've used that reference too much, but it just reminds me.
but if I buy a vehicle, I'm going to drive the damn thing, right? I'm not going to buy a vehicle and set it up on blocks and only bring it out on Sundays to a car show.
You have to let it sit there for 20, 30 years if you really want to get a big return on your money, and that would just be a shame.
Well, there's people that have done that. I mean, there's, you know, the Indy pace cars, the anniversary vehicles. You know, I'd love to have one of the anniversary Firebirds. I had a Firebird when, you know, you talked about your hot rods growing up. I had a Pontiac Firebird that I bought and paid for myself and was proud of. But I drove the wheels off that damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was
use
a driver.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to enjoy it. Owning it is a piece of the fun. But just saying, oh, yeah, I've got one of those. It's in a barn with a cover on it, and I never drive it.
What? Yeah. I mean,
no,
nothing
I'm
against
like buying a gun. I want to shoot the gun.
Well, we differ in that aspect because I don't like spending the money or cleaning the gun. I do like having them. And every time I go, and I use this excuse all the time, every time I go to the range, point and pull the trigger, the bullet goes close enough to where I want it to go at 100 yards. I haven't done 200 or 300. I would kind of like to get into that long range shooting. It's like 30 bucks. And this was a couple of years ago, the last time I went. It's like 30 bucks, and the ammunition costs money. I want the ammunition just in case I need it here in the neighborhood or at the house or in the neighborhood. You know, you never know, never can tell what's going to happen with the border and all these other things that are going on. So I'd hate to,
zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. It's fun shooting. I used to shoot all the time at home with my pellet gun. I had a really nice pellet gun, and this will answer a lot of questions for you folks. I used to put the pellets, little 5mm pellets, in my mouth. They were lead, and I would just hold them in my mouth when, you know, it was quicker reloading because it was a single shot. So I've had a lot of lead, and I'm okay.
I'm okay. Right. Yeah.
So anyway, they're actually going to have 250 of these Gladiators, which I think is going to make them a little more rare, certainly, than what the 4xEs are. So you'll get a Willys trim level for both models. Could you imagine somebody buying one of each? That would be amazing. Each comes with a body color hardtop. So this is like a Rubicon, because Rubicons, as far as I know, Rubicon is the only one that comes with body colored tops. I don't know if the Mojave does or not, but anyway, so body colored hardtop, headliner included, the Sunrider flip top that features a foldable cloth section over the front seat passengers, and decals, this is the decals thing you were talking about earlier, Chip, that let everyone know it's a beach edition, because you may not know otherwise, because all these modifications you could put on yourself, which is, I mean, I don't see anything super special about this other than just bragging rights.
No, well, the seats, you said, you read down in the article, it's got the cat skin embroidered Jeep beach seats.
Oh, that would be nice.
So that would be really cool, right? Mm-hmm. You take all the doors off, you flip that Sunrider top back, you've got Jeep beach on the side of your Jeep, you've got Jeep beach on your sewn into your seats. I mean, it's an appearance package.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's cool. It's a good marketing move on their part to capitalize on the Jeep Beach and the success of Jeep Beach. They'll sell out of these things, and people will collect them. And
I would
like,
I would think so. I would think so. I'm just kind of curious. I know how I think about it. And I'm just kind of curious how you think about it. So this mud terrain tires, 33-inch all-terrain Wranglers, a 12.3-inch touchscreen, which is the infotainment. That's what comes in the 2024s now. Anyway, adaptive cruise control, which I wouldn't mind having that for the trips to EJS, where it would just change, you know, I can put it on cruise control, and then I just have to monitor the speed. I get down to 45, somebody's getting shot. LED front.
I'm with Brindy. I don't want adaptive cruise control. There's a whole other. I want to be in control.
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah.
LED front lighting, steel rock rails. Oh, that's nice. Nice. Every version also includes Mopar, like what you were just saying, Mopar catskin leather seats that are embroidered with Jeep Beach. And nice. They just do beautiful work. You know, Greg Henderson, unofficial use only. That's who he uses for his builds. And
Yeah.
So the special edition Jeeps will start at $62,290 for the 4xe and $52,390 for the Gladiator. The Gladiator is cheaper. I find that interesting. And I think that probably goes back to the sales type thing.
Maybe the 4XE2, they're reflecting the true cost of all that electrification. I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. They're having trouble selling the Gladiators right now. And maybe that's why the price is reduced. So that might be why it's less than the 4xE. Well, I guess is the 4xE more expensive because of the electrification? I guess it could be.
I think it is. More expensive to build. Right?
Yeah.
I just like your Gladiator, Tony. That your Gladiator someday could be like a Scrambler. It could be a very sought after vehicle because they only made it for a few years. I'm not sure the 4XE will be as sought after.
No. Because it's an in-between technology is the way I look at this.
Right.
I know there's going to be 4XE owners or 4xE owners out there that argue that, but it's you need one power plant, not two. I think that there'll be a breakthrough, and then people will think about the flirtation with the hybrid, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we didn't have the technology then, so we had to have a stopgap measure before we got this ultimate technology. And again, I fully believe that the future is electric for vehicles. It's just not now, and they're just pushing it now, and I don't understand why. I mean, if the government knew something that we didn't, but I think it would be now would be a good time to release that technology that they know about or have developed for the world, because it would make a huge difference. Could you imagine not having an electric bill? Your house generates its own power.
Alien technology, Tony. It's in Area 51. It's alien technology, and they're not ready to tell us it's the alien.
It very well could be, and maybe they're working on a storyline that they can explain why we have it, that it's not alien technology. But, you know, the alien stuff's out of the bag. I mean, the government has already said there's craft flying around that are not anybody else's, and it's non-human intelligence flying it. So
they had a panel. There was like a panel on of the congressmen or senators. I don't remember which, but just this week, I was watching a panel on a YouTube video that they were openly they were ex pilots or people that were in government positions that were whistleblowers. They're calling themselves where they were sharing what had been previously classified information. So hey, they're out there.
Yeah, well, you know Zabo.
I just hope they like Jeeps.
You know Zabo from a Jeep Talk Show listener, gets on Discord and stuff. Yeah, he flew with one of those guys that was in the hearing. Did when we interviewed Zabo, we actually talked about that F-18 pilot. Oh yeah, need to go back and listen to Zabo. And I'll just mention this really quick. I've reached out to him recently because I want to get him back on, because all we talked about was flying and UFOs and all. Everything I wanted to talk about, but we really didn't talk about his Jeep. So we're going to get it back on and talk about his Jeep, because he's done a lot to the Jeep. He's actually doing coilovers and Dana 60s on it right now. It's in the process of really being built up. Yeah, he's having a good time.
Wow.
Hopefully he's going to make it to the Jeep Talk Show event this year. That would be nice to see that stuff firsthand.
Yeah, he started just wheeling his Jeep stock, right? Mm-hmm. And then has been upgrading it over the last few years, because he went with Wendy, right, on some outings, and I think he just had his first lift and tires, but he didn't have lockers. He was open, and but did well, even out there at Black Bear. But.
So this Jeep Talk Show flagship episode is brought to you by you, the listener. Without you, we'd have no reason to do the show. Do you have a product to sell? You can advertise it or your business on the Jeep Talk Show. Just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact right now. Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show, where we put the fun in off-road fun. Strap in, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to laugh, learn, and have a damn good time.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
All right, Chip. So people are looking at their phone or looking at the video, going, "Hey, what the hell happened? That's out of order." We're trying a little something different here on the format of the show, and hopefully you will enjoy it. Chip, I bet you have not heard the Tuesday flagship episode yet, where a rented Jeep drove off a cliff. Did you ever watch the Office? Do you remember the episode where Michael was following the GPS and drove into a lake? Because that's what this reminds me of.
No, I didn't. I watched The Office, but I didn't catch every episode.
Yeah, what was that thing? He had was it a PT Cruiser? Or it was very popular at the time. They were doing list price plus if you wanted one or not. So he had, I can't remember if it was the PT Cruiser. It was one of those old like 50s style wagons, but it was real small. Anyway, I think that's what he was driving, and I can't remember if I'm brain farting on the name. What's his name, last name? Droot or something. Anyway, there was two of them. They were on a sales trip, and he drove off into the lake, and he was complaining that it was GPS that sent him there, which is probably a news story at the time. It's probably why they wrote that into the series. Anyway, there's no mention.
I've been driving before. The GPS tries to make you turn right, and if you turn right, you go off the edge of a cliff. I mean, it's like, turn right here. Like, Siri, you're trying to kill me.
That's right. Exactly. So, and there's some TikTok videos about that. So this is an update to that story that we did on Tuesday's flagship episode. A Canadian, and I love mentioning that it's a Canadian. Canadians are okay. I just like picking on them. In Hawaii, drove a rented Jeep off a cliff, winding up in the ocean. Not on the rocks, but in the water. I mean, I don't know what kind of speed he was going when he drove off that cliff.
But was he a Jeeper, or was he just a guy that rented a Jeep?
I have no idea. I'm going to say that he wasn't. Let's just say that. That makes everybody feel better.
Right.
We'll just say he was a Canadian.
When you get to Hawaii, you can't. It's really hard to get your Jeep to Hawaii. So you could be a Jeeper and say, wow, I want to rent a Jeep out here. It's one of my bucket list things. So, but I don't plan on driving off cliff.
So you're looking at the show notes here. It's a small image, but I think that's going to be a Grand Cherokee. Maybe it is a Cherokee. I'm one of the new models, because it kind of looks like a Cherokee itself. I mean, yeah, like a Grand Cherokee. You, the listener, you can go to episode 996 at jeeptalkshow.com and see our show notes there. But anyway, I'm thinking it's a Grand Cherokee. Was it a Wrangler or a Gladiator?
If he was a real Jeeper, he wouldn't have rented a Grand Cherokee.
I don't think so. But, you know, it's at least it's a Jeep, right? So you can look at it that way.
Right?
There's, you know, the Grand Cherokees are very nice. They're not an off-road vehicle. And I know some people will be screaming at me that, yes, they are, you hateful person. I think maybe the ZJs, the WJs, maybe more so. But the modern-day Jeeps, I really don't think are considered by most people. The Grand Cherokees are considered by most people to be off-road vehicles. But in this story from AP, the tourist was driving early morning, very dark, when he took a wrong turn and landed head first into the ocean. And when I say head first, I don't mean nose. I mean like your head is pointing down. The top of your head is pointing down. So the Jeep, you know, literally flipped over. I wonder if it flipped because he was like, oh, holy shit, and hit the brakes.
I don't know. I mean, you go over a cliff, you're trying to figure out, is the vehicle going to stay flat or is it going to invert? He was flying inverted, Tony.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe so. Maybe it was a UFO that they don't understand up and down. It lifted him up. But there may be more to this story. He was able to swim out of the Jeep and to shore once he got pushed out 100 yards, I guess due to the surf or the tow or whatever. And there was actually, wow. he woke up a fisherman or two, because apparently this is a good fishing spot. I don't know if it's a fishing spot for Jeeps or not, but they woke up when they heard this huge splash in the ocean, and they were able to assist this guy to get back onto dry land. Now, so once he was there, emergency services had to pull him up with a rope and a helicopter. This is not going to be a cheap event.
They pulled him up or the Jeep up?
Is he
that big that it took a helicopter to get him up?
I think there was no way of getting him up on to the top of the cliff without the helicopter and the rope. And who knows? Maybe they got a new helicopter and they want to try it out. I don't know. This is, you never can tell when those things happen. Just going by what the report was here. So my question is, if the fishermen were helping them, how did they get down there? How did they get back up? Were they waiting for a helicopter? There's a disconnect here. But anyway, that's what it says, that the helicopter and a rope had to get him to safety.
Well, if the fishermen were fishing from the bank, they might be down there, right? Or if they were out in boats. Could you imagine being out in the boat and a car splashes right beside you?
Well, they were camping. I guess they could have been camping in the boat, couldn't they?
They could have been camping in the boat or camping on the shore and fishing just down there on the beach or whatever, that rocky shore. But that's a heck of a deal, right? But you said it's early morning, so is there alcohol involved in this?
It does not say.
It also talks about it. It went from a paved surface to dirt, so did he lose control? How fast was he going? There are so many questions.
Yeah, so once he was rescued, he was treated for some minor facial injuries. Getting the frown off his face. And some mild hypothermia. So at this location, the road is very dangerous. The road turns from a major paved surface to dirt. And then within 100 feet of that dirt road, it gets very steep. And then there's the edge of the cliff. So,
Hey, here's an important question. Did he take out the insurance on the rental vehicle or not?
God, I hope so. So this rescue took 16 people and many resources. So I'm thinking, this is a very popular area for a spot for fishermen and tourists. I'm thinking it might be cheaper to put up a sign or maybe a light or maybe both. Than to use a helicopter for recovery of these individuals that drive off the cliff. I don't know if this is the first time that this has happened, but you got to figure this is probably, if it's a dangerous area, people could have gotten out of their vehicle, walked up to the edge, and then fell off or slid down.
You talk about putting up signage or guardrails, but when we were out wheeling in Sedona. Right, we were out on some trails that were trails. They were kind of unmaintained county highway roads, some of them. But you'd be driving along, and it's rougher than a cob. It's got rocks. It's got mud. You're driving along, and all of a sudden, you see a sign on the side of the road that's like a street sign that says, bumpy road ahead. Now, you've already lost three teeth bouncing behind you coming up the trail. My wife's, or you come up to a sign that says, curvy road ahead, and it's got that yellow sign with the curvy road. And I'm sitting there going, well, what the hell? We've been doing switchbacks all the way to get here. That was curvy back there. And then they had a guardrail on the side of the trail. I'm like, if it's a trail, I don't want a guard. Well, I personally don't like heights. I would like guardrails, but it detracts from the trail.
It does. So yeah, absolutely.
A road where they don't want to put up a lot of signage.
And also, too, some of the signs and stuff can be insulting to you because it's like, I'm not your average bear. I understand how this works. Now, let me rewind a bit here. You said rougher than a cob. Do you know where that comes from? That saying rougher than a cob comes from?
Okay, so growing up on a farm, my dad used
you
to
do know
in the outhouse. they actually had two coal buckets. They had two coal buckets sitting in the outhouse. They had the standard rough red corn cob, And then they had white corn cobs, which are smoother and softer. So you start with the red corn cob, which is rougher than a cob, and then you progress to the white, softer finishing cob.
But I mean, what do? You're eating corn while you're taking a poop or what?
No. A corn cob, not an ear of corn that's shelled off. You'd take the grain off. Well, it could be interesting to take an ear of corn and do it.
But my point is, what are you doing with corn? What are you doing with corn in an outhouse? Most people don't know this.
Well, besides corn comes out quickly after you eat it, the corn cob, you're wiping with it, right? I mean, that's...
So you're literally using the corn cob.
Well, you could have... Now, what they used to use to wipe with.
Yeah.
And it's rougher than a cob. We progressed. You know, when Sears came out with their catalog, the Sears catalog was really soft paper. And so we did progress to that. I actually have a functioning outhouse here in my backyard. It's a two-holer.
Why is there two holes? His and hers?
Well, actually, for the mom and kids. No, well, it could be, but mom and kids. Like, you take, mom's going out with the kid, and they both go.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so I've never experienced an outhouse. My grandfather had kind of an outhouse set up in his garage. In a very, very much Houston area. And had the little moon cut into the door and all that stuff. I thought it was kind of cool.
Right.
I would have liked to have asked him about why that was there. Maybe it came with the house. I don't know. Maybe he put it in. But
the outhouse we've got was built during the Depression by the WPA when they were coming through. It's got a concrete foundation. It's a pretty nice outhouse.
Oh, it is.
But it was built back in the, late 20s, early 30s. Yeah.
But rougher than a cob.
My grandmother and my aunt used to get in a competition.
But rougher,
they got in a competition.
But rougher than a cob because you use it to wipe your ass. Yeah, I got it now. That's funny. That's pretty interesting. So what do you think, Chip, on this Canadian going off a cliff? Was he going fast? Was he feeling the trail? Or was he drunk and just let's see where this goes?
Well, you know, you get out away from the cities in pitch black and all you've got is your headlights. Especially if it was a cloudy day for some reason, you didn't have any moonlight.
Right.
You're driving on a road you don't know, in a rental vehicle that you're not familiar with, and the road goes from paved to dirt, and you have to make a sharp turn or whatever. There are so many aspects of this we don't know. Was there alcohol involved? What was his speed? But, you know, I give the guy a benefit of his doubt. He's driving in an unfamiliar car, on unfamiliar roads, in the pitch black.
Yeah, we're going to go with that, and we're also going to go with he's not a Jeeper, just a save face. All right, Chip, okay. let's talk about these tips that you have for us tonight, and again, thank you for being here, and especially for doing a nice little segment for us and our listeners.
Tidbits, not tips. I was reading some articles this week, you know, that we all know that Jeep started with World War II, right? July 11th, 1940, the Department of War went and got people to submit plans for a quarter ton four-wheel drive car or vehicle, like a support vehicle. And what I didn't know, though, was in 1942, Jeep and the Department of Agriculture started testing in Alabama the use of Jeeps as farm equipment. And so they were looking at different farm applications. They were basically saying, hey, we could use it as a tractor. And if you see some of the pictures, and Tony, I'd sent you some earlier this week, but you know, there were all kinds of attachments like backhoes, plows, they had trenchers. And some of these were aftermarket. Some of them, I'm not sure, may have been available from Willys Overland. But they were showing pictures of Jeeps pulling discs and cultivators, mowers, hay balers, wagons, or hay racks full of hay. They were actually painting them green and yellow or red and white to look like a tractor color.
Mm-hmm.
So that they were looking at this as additional market opportunities for Jeep.
So and let me ask you real quick. Let me ask you this. Would this be surplus military vehicles? Or it was the companies that were building the military vehicles and selling them?
It sounds like the department from this article, and I didn't fact check it, right? But from this article, it was the U.S. Department of Agriculture actually doing the testing with military Jeeps that they had that they weren't sending overseas yet. It was in 1942.
Oh, so okay.
They
I
had
see.
Apparently access. They had access to these military Jeeps, and they said, "Well, let's go out and the Department of Ag took a few of them and tested them in Alabama to say, hey, is this a viable option or alternative use for this?" Who knows why, right? Were they thinking of the American farmer? Were they thinking about overseas?
Rebuilding Germany and places once we devastated them. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, and they were still very much agricultural, right? Where you had a lot of farmers that needed access, and some of them may have been farming with horses over there. So mm-hmm. I don't know the history on that. Maybe a listener might call in and clarify with more information. But I just thought it was really interesting. They started identifying that they needed to beef up the hitch for more of a drawbar. They added the PTO to run some of the implements.
Power takeoff.
They put in a stronger clutch.
Mm-hmm.
Power takeoff, right. And so Willys Overland was going for a patent, and they started to develop it, and they were going to call it the Agri Jeep, A-G-R-I Jeep. And then instead, though, they went to a Universal Jeep as the name. But then they tried a CJ1, they tried a CJ2, they never came to market, but I think they made something like 40 or 45 of the CJ2s, never went to market, never hit the retail. So the Willys Overland saw an opportunity for this, and they started developing the civilian Jeep, right, which we know as the CJ.
Right.
And they had a CJ1, they had a CJ2, and then they finally ended up coming out with the CJ2A, which was started on in July of 1945 and came out in 1946.
Very, very cool. The farm tools or the tools that they could put on the Jeeps, that, I mean, I've seen a lot of pictures. I would think, and I don't know if you know this, I would think that they were pretty successful, that there were people using these Jeeps and the instruments that were made for them on the farm. I mean, they may not have done what the agriculture department was hoping to do, but these Jeeps were being used on the farms successfully, weren't they?
Yes. There were several farmers here in Illinois that I knew, they had Jeeps and were using them on the farm. They were using them more of a support vehicle where they might haul people to the field, or they might pick up rocks, or maybe pull a small wagon. Still, it wasn't as powerful as a normal tractor.
Right. But it was also small, and I would think they would be relatively cheap compared to a tractor. So it certainly would be better than a golf cart. Of course, I don't know if they had golf carts back then. They probably didn't. Well, no, interesting.
Those came out, I think, in the 50s.
Yeah, interesting stuff there, Chip, and thank you for that.
Sure.
Gladiator.
My name is Gladiator.
Gladiators.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Alrighty, I had something come up that was kind of out of the blue, and I'm very happy that it has. But first, let me ask you, what do you think about sun or moonroofs on a Jeep? They did come on Gladiators. They did come on Cherokees, or added to the Cherokees, you know, way back in the XJ is what I'm talking about. I don't think I remember seeing them on Wranglers like TJs or YJs, at least not a factory option. Chip, do you remember anything with like a moonroof or a sunroof on a Wrangler or maybe even certainly it wouldn't even been on the Comanche, but the YJ, the CJs, any of those?
Well, so I just bought this LJ, and it's got an aftermarket top on it, and it has a moonroof in it.
What do you think about that? Is it neat having it there, or?
We're on trails. If you're out in the desert, it doesn't matter a whole lot. Actually, I'd rather not have the sun beating in, although it's tinted, right? But in a woods, you can look up and see the trees. So it's kind of neat to have a true moonroof. I really like the flip top, my soft top on my JK. Mm-hmm. I always flip it back when I'm on the trail. I don't flip the top all the way down because of the pain of taking the side windows out and the back window out and all that. So I just top back. My wife and I are sitting out. We feel like we're topless. So we're half topless, right?
Right.
And then I like the fact of the, you know, these Sunrider roofs, like you were talking about coming out on the Jeep Beach model. That Sunrider top, I just bought one for my wife's JL. I think it's really nice. But I know where you're going here. So go ahead. I like the aspect of having more of an open air feeling.
Yeah. So you live in an area that gets snow, substantial amount of snow potentially. For any kind of Sunrider or any kind of flip top, do you have to put on a hard top for wintertime, or can you leave that flip back top with the heavy snow?
Most of my friends all trade out their soft tops for their hard tops in the winter. Sunrider, I got it for my wife for Christmas. It's still in the box in the barn because I haven't had time to put it on yet, and the weather really hasn't cooperated.
Right.
On her Jeep, I'll probably take it off and put the Freedom top back on. On my Jeep, I actually leave the soft top on year round. Even though I'm out here in the snow, it doesn't cause any problems.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
And they're well built. I bought, you know, you.
Yeah, that's the thing I think of whenever I think of a moon roof or a sunroof is that you shouldn't have to worry about snow or hail or ice collection because it's more beefy, it's more substantial than a cloth top. So this is pretty funny. I think you were on this episode that this happened. You know, I don't know. I like to say things are jeepy or not. It's just my feel that doesn't really seem jeepy. For example, Jeep came out with a soft top that it doesn't expose the sides, but you can press a button. Was it the one touch top? I think is what it's called, or something along those lines. And it will literally slide this cloth section all the way back. So now everybody in the Jeep can be exposed to the open air, which is neat. But I never felt it was very jeepy. It seems kind of like something you'd see on a 60s convertible or something, kind of gimmicky. Maybe. So it was not.
The top's rounded, too. On those tops, they don't look like the traditional soft top. It's kind of rounded, a little bulkier looking.
Yeah, well, there's got to be a rail system or something for it to ride on. Yeah. So, yeah, it's understandable. So, would you think that the moonroof or the sunroof, and it's good that you have a Jeep that has this on it. Do you think that having this enclosed but visually open thing, would you consider that being Jeepy or not Jeepy? Does it seem like something that wouldn't be a purist for a Jeep?
Purist for a Jeep. So is an aftermarket top as good as the factory top? How purist do you want to be? Is it Jeepy to have a sunroof on a Jeep? I mean,
just your opinion.
My opinion is, you know, do what you like. I like the fact that I can see up and I can see through it. It gives me an open air feeling without being exposed to rain or the weather.
You don't have to scramble. So, you don't have to scramble to get the tops out of the panel, the Freedom tops out of the out of the bag, and flop them on, and then you always have it's the last minute that you're doing it because you don't want to put them back on. I don't think it's going to rain. This is probably just a little sprinkling. It'll be okay. We'll just keep going 50 miles an hour. Oh shit.
Yeah. The downpour.
Yeah.
And then you got to worry about your electronics, right?
Exactly.
So that's where. What was that cover? You interviewed somebody one time that had a cover.
Dash poncho. Yeah.
Which after the fact, I've had several friends that I've talked to about it, and they're like, I got to get one of those
because
They had to buy a new radio. And it was expensive.
Yeah, and they just store right there, kind of like an emergency, almost like a fire extinguisher. You can pull that out and get that thing on there really quick. But anyway, I think you were on this episode I was talking about earlier. Greg Henderson, a friend of the show and owner of Unofficial Use Only, says, be a man and take the top off.
I'd rather say be a woman and take your top off, but that's another thing.
Well, you can do whatever you want to, Chip. You can do both those things. So the question is, are you a man? What do you think about see-through Freedom tops where you can stay warm or cool? Because, you know, all the environmental systems work when it's enclosed. They don't work so well whenever it's open.
Well, I know, you know, again, reading through the show notes and the previous interview you had with the guy from G-Tops, I think it sounds ingenious. I haven't seen one yet. I'm looking forward to seeing the first one.
Yeah. So, as I was alluding to earlier, through a series of circumstances, I'm going to find out what it's like to have some G-Tops because G-Tops has sent me a set of demo Freedom Tops to take to EJS 2024. So, Chris,
I think you're going to like them.
Yeah, I think so too. Chris, the owner of G-Tops, gtops.com, that's J-E-E tops.com, was asked if they would be going to EJS this year. And he said no, but he had some demo tops that he could send us to have fun with. Now, this was actually Bob that spoke with him on the phone. And Bob, sadly, at least in this case, has a TJ.
Right. So it was, he doesn't have freedom panels.
So he contacted me and I said, oh yeah, hell yeah. So demo Freedom Tops. It sounds like a great idea, a great business idea where you can send these things out for people to try. But it seems like a kind of an expensive idea because you know what the size of the Freedom Tops are, and they're not heavy, but they're not light either. And if you're going to be shipping these things out to people, it just seems, and these are panels that you can't initially sell because they're demos, and things can happen to the demos, and you can patch them up or maybe get rid of a scratch or something, but it's not, certainly not something you'd want to sell as a new piece of equipment.
It's used at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the interesting thing on these tops is these tops were damaged while they were in a FedEx truck, and thinking, okay, well, they fell off the shelf. They took a hit, a bump.
They dropped them.
No, it's much more interesting than this. They were on the way to a customer when the FedEx vehicle came under fire.
Now, where in the hell was this at?
Now, I like to say it was in Chicago, just because of Steve-O. Right. But well, truth is, I don't know. Yeah, truth is, I don't know. So when the bullets, so first off, the bullet struck the truck, then the box that had the G-tops in it, out the other side, and then out the opposite side of the FedEx truck. So the bullet went straight through. And now I called Chris, and I wanted to say, well, Chris, does it have holes in it? And right? he says,
he put bubble gum in it.
Yeah, right? Chris says they fixed the holes. Oh, thank goodness. It's like, honey, put your finger in the hole when it rains, that type of thing. No, don't worry about that. So they did a good job, and it doesn't take away from the joy of having the increased visibility of inside the Jeep. And it's just really neat. I mean, I think we've all experienced the additional light and the additional feel of freedom. But let me ask you this, Chip. Would a sun or a moonroof have any practical use for really anything? I mean, it's just really a feeling thing, isn't it? I mean, there's no practical use off-road.
I never thought about a practical aspect of it. Not really. I mean, I think it's more, you get the sense that you've got the top flipped back, but yet you don't. You're protected. So if I've been out wheeling, I'm in the north, right? And so you might be out, it's a clear day, it's 50 degrees. It's a little too chilly to throw the top back, but you're like, man, it would be fun. You'd feel more open air. That's, how many people, we talk about off-roading. 5% of the Jeepers go off-road. So to me, that means 95% of the market likes the idea. Maybe it's just the fact that it's convertible. Mm-hmm. So this takes that step, right? I mean, we talked at the top of the show, or we were visiting about, I had a Firebird, and it did not have T-tops. I wish I had, although those suckers leaked.
Yeah, they did.
But it was still worth it. I would have liked to have had.
I had an 82 Z28 with T-tops. It was really neat. So initially, when I first found out about G-tops, I wasn't overly excited. I wasn't overly interested in it. It seemed a bit gimmicky type thing. And also, too, I was surprised to find out, and I can't remember if I knew this ahead of time or not before I did the interview with Chris. I did not know that they took the Freedom Top and cut the section out of the Freedom Top, of your Freedom Tops, and then put the polycarbonate or whatever it is, Chris has told me several times now, and I don't remember, in there. But once I started talking to Chris during the first interview we did with him, and he's an engineer. You're talking to him, and you can just you know because he has a lot of details, and the material that they used for this that has the built-in UV protection, 99.something% UV protection, and also too, it has the tint built into it. It's not on it. It's not coated in something. The tint is not going to rub off or scratch off or anything because it's built into the polycarbonate. He's hollering at me. It's not polycarbonate. Anyway, it's something, but it's the same type of stuff they use in the F-16s and in attack helicopters. So this stuff is really strong.
In the interview, he was saying, you use that your top. He's just cutting a panel into it.
Yeah, just cutting a hole.
Didn't he say that it was more insulating or more noise dampening?
Both.
Than the stock Freedom panel. So there's benefits, and what I like about the fact that somebody shot a hole in one and he was able to repair it. So imagine if you get a rock chip, it's going to be like repairing your windshield. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it shatters. You had a bullet go through this thing and all it did was
well,
a bunch of holes.
Well, I think the bullet went through the fiberglass portion of it or whatever the non-top is.
Okay.
But I'll know more on our next episode where I talk about this. I haven't fully examined them yet. So again, I wasn't overly excited about the G-tops, just the idea about it way back when I first found out about them. But as I spoke with Chris and found out how they were made and the details that he goes through, I'm very excited about this. And I'm so happy to be able to have some of these. And I am really looking forward to the drive, because the drive to EJS is going to be different this year because of the G-tops on the Gladiator. So I think this makes the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator feel completely different. Because it gives you a new opening thing. It allows you to go topless and not be a man. So I think I'm going to tell Chris, this is a great plug for the G-tops. Don't be a man. Get G-tops. when it's raining outside, I mean, you can go through storming weather, lightning, all kinds of stuff, and you're virtually topless, but you're still protected. Right. I love this idea.
Well, so when you're driving down the highway, it's one aspect, but when you're off-roading, Tony, if you're going down through one of those canyons, and see the side, I think your views are going to just, when you're on the trail, your views are going to be much more wide open.
Now, you were there when was it Long Canyon that we did, where it was just like a big V that we were driving through? I can't remember what it's called, but it was just amazing. It wasn't a difficult, it was just a trail. Is that the one we
drove to Chicken Corners with Bob Leading?
Yes.
And then we went up the switchbacks and all that. It's a gorgeous trail.
Oh my God.
Again, you've opened up the upward side now. Now you're not just looking out the windows on the side on the doors, or you're looking out your windshield. Now you can look up and see what's above you too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to EJS, and I really appreciate getting these G-tops from Chris, and it's going to be hard to send them back, but I'll have them for a good month, so that'll be a lot of fun. And I think the wife is really going to enjoy the driving the Gladiator with them in there. And keep in mind, G-tops doesn't only put Freedom top panels in. They can put it in the main top as well for either your Wrangler 4xe, whatever, or the top on the Gladiator. It's a panoramic one. So it's a huge window to outside for your backseat drivers. And of course, you get more light in the vehicle that way when you're driving on the road. I'm looking forward to driving with the sun out with the G-tops, because Chris says it's actually cooler than what the Freedom top is.
Which is interesting. So it's reflecting the UV light more than the black roof would, or even if you have a color painted match roof. Right?
Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if it's reflecting it or not allowing it to pass through, because it's a different type of material than what the Freedom top is made out of. So you've removed that material that probably has a certain coefficient that is some of it blocks the heat. I mean, the coefficient of blocking some of the heat coming through, but the polycarbonate that he uses actually is more efficient at blocking that heat, doesn't transfer the heat as well. And also, too, he's sending, and I don't know if these are necessarily Tesla, but he refers to them as Tesla covers. So you can actually
put it work.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the I think he said something about it's the same company that makes them for Tesla. But anyway, basically, they just pop into the holes, and now you can block out all the light coming through if you want to. So anyway, very, very interested, and I'm very happy to very interested in using these at EJS. I'll be posting up a lot of video and stuff, although Chris said, I'm not looking for any advertisement. Just have fun with them.
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G, and it was good hearing Josh on the show again. Josh, come back to the show. I need somebody to beat up on. It's no fun without you.
You can beat up on Chip.
That's not why I'm calling. I'm calling to tell you that my favorite dish is made with petroleum byproducts. Yeah, I guess you could say I have a refined taste. That was horrible. Let's see if we can do better. I always wanted to have the ability to talk to bridges. Yeah, but I don't know Spanish. That one's not much better, but I guess that's all you're getting. Be happy with the jokes you got. All right, boys and girls, I'll chat you later and have a good one. Bye.
Did you get that last one, Chip? Bridges? That Spanish? I don't understand that one.
I didn't get any of the Nikki G segment. My internet sucks today, so.
All right, well, coming up on our next interview episode, we're excited to announce that Steve Adams of Nacho.love, Chip, literally, the website is Nacho.love. So instead of like a .com, you can just go to Nacho.love. So you just type that in your browser, and you'll see a very nice set of lights and other products from Nacho.love. And you'll find out while listening to this this interview episode why it's called Nacho.
Well, the nacho lights are gaining huge popularity.
Well, you know, Steve was actually the owner of Rigid Industries, and then he sold that, and the same group of guys that were doing Rigid Industries came together a few years later and started up the Nacho.love thing. Now, Steve, and I don't want to tell you too much of this stuff because it's in the interview that you can look forward to, but Steve was a commercial pilot till around 2008, I think is what he told me. And being a commercial pilot, he flew a lot of different places. And in flying a lot of different places, he went and found the best places to eat nachos. So Nacho Love is literally about nachos. So he loves nachos. And he referred to, what's the guy's name? Rod Dave or something, Portnoy, the guy who does the pizza reviews, where he says, everybody knows the rules, one slice or something like that. I've been watching him on TikTok. He's pretty funny. Definitely a New Yorker or East Coaster. And he goes to these places all around the country, and he will get a pizza, and he'll come outside, and then he'll pull that slice of pizza out, and he'll eat it. And it's not one bite. It's not everybody knows the rules, one bite. He eats the whole damn thing. He eats it wrong. He needs to be shown how to eat a piece of pizza properly, which I know is insulting, and that's why.
Well, a New Yorker, they're going to try to fold their pizza in New York. Yep. They don't even know.
Yep, fold it. And anyway, it always makes me want pizza. It just looks so damn good. And he never gets tired of eating pizza. He's excited. He's a pizza person. And anyway, so Steve says, just like him, they actually do these nacho reviews where they go and they get nachos and they do like a nacho review thing on the street, which I think would be funny. I haven't seen one yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. I don't know if it's on social media or in his TikTok, but I'll have to send him a message and get him to send me a link so we can share it on the show. I think eating nachos and reviewing them would be pretty cool.
When I first heard of Nacho Lights, I was thinking they're all going to have a yellow or orange cast, like were they the amber lights that they're calling nacho.
Mm, or at least some cheese. I'm good with cheese. All right, Chip, I got a few announcements here. In just 2 days, I will be attending Jeep Meets in Katy, Texas. Katy Crossroads Ice House, you know, we've been talking about here on the show because I want to make sure that if you'd like to come out, meet me, see the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator, this is a great way for you to do that. Of course, this is going to be for, I would think, I mean, I don't care. You can fly in if you want to, but I would think this would be predominantly for the Houston area. Katy is about 20 miles west of Houston, Texas. So again, you can come meet me and see the 2021 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator and see the G-Tops firsthand. So I think that's more important than the Gladiator or me. I'd want to come out just to see the G-Tops because it's. I mean, the website's great and the interviews are great, but seeing it firsthand, I think makes a big deal. I think we're going to be making lots of sales for G-Tops. I think this is a wonderful thing to have, and it actually is not that much more expensive than the best top. What do you call it? What's the one that you flip back? The one you have? Sunrider.
Yeah. The Sunrider.
And the, $1,000 for that thing, and it's cloth.
Well, $1,200, I think. If you get your Patreon discount and order it right, you can get it.
Oh, I had no idea it was $1,200. Jeez.
But that's how I paid for part of my Patreon. I ordered the best top through that. But my wife will not take off the Freedom panels, and she wanted the Sunrider because she'll flip that thing back open on her own.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Convenience. Absolutely.
Convenience. And that was before I heard anything about these G-Tops. The G-Top would have fulfilled part of that without having to remove it or without having to do anything.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious. I really want to see a set. I want to see them in person as well.
Well, you can see them at Easter Jeep Safari. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not going.
That hurts. I wish I could.
I know. That's the reason why I teased you about it, just to make you feel bad.
You're killing me.
I'm a great guy.
I had a great time last year.
It was.
I would encourage any listener or any member of the Jeep Talk Show team, and if you can go. It's a blast getting to meet everybody in person, spending some time out on the trails together, and then getting in and sitting at a restaurant somewhere and having a nice beverage of your choice and going over the events of the day, right? And then the show itself and all the evening receptions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was worth going to just for the reception. So you got to go see, you know, Terraflex and AED.
And you never know who you're going to be standing next to or just across the way there. People that you've seen in social media or like Tony from Gen Ride. I got to meet Tony for the first time last year. Anyway, the Jeep Talk Show team and some of the listeners are going to the EJS 2024. You can join in or meet us at EJS. Bob, Bill, Julianne from Wrangler, Roger, Steve O, Not Chip, and more. I'll be there March 25th through March 30th. And you can meet up with us at any time, anywhere. I'm working on a good way for us to be able to get the information out so that people that would like to join in on a off-road or just meet us someplace that they can monitor the like Instagram or something and know where to go. But a good place to catch us will be at the Moab Diner. I predict that will be where we are every day for breakfast, and we'll be probably hitting it early. You don't want to go to the Moab Diner late in the morning because it is very, very busy. It's kind of the place to go for breakfast and other meals too. I think what Greg Henderson told me or told the group was that it's great for breakfast and at the end of the day because they have really good ice cream. So go there and get some ice cream. Oh,
we didn't do that. We were just going to the other restaurants, but. So Tony, using the Discord server, it's a good place to plug the Discord server. If they're intending to go, you could put some notes up on the Discord server or go under that tab, and then you could put the GMRS frequency that you guys are going to be operating on, so you can maybe they can reach you on GMRS if they can't.
The thing I found last year was that internet access was very spotty, even in town. Now the cell service, like SMS text messaging, is what we wound up using. Which I really didn't care for because I had numbers of people that I didn't know what their names were. So they were saying something. I mean, I knew they were one of the team members or listeners that was there, but I didn't know who it was. So that's how we were doing that. So we're going to work on a way. We've got 2 or 3 weeks here that we can work on a good way of communicating and come up with something that people can quote unquote listen in on. But normally Discord, Instagram, all those places would be great. But when internet's spotty, it's more of a hassle to try to get the word out whenever you don't have the service or fast enough service.
I guess if they're camping, they wouldn't have internet. If they are staying at a hotel, you could put something on Discord for the hotel people, or maybe they'll catch it.
But yeah, well, we need one way, not a multitude of ways, because that's a poor way of communicating. But we'll work it out. So and this is kind of poignant because I want to talk about the JTS community, Jeep Talk Show community. You know, we're more than a show. We bring people together. Discord, Zoom meeting, friendships have formed and offered events have been planned and gone to by people that would never have known each other if it wasn't for these communities that the Jeep Talk Show has built. So I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just letting you know what I'm hearing for the people that are here and part of the community. So you can be part of the Jeep Talk Show community. Dare I say family?
Club. It's a club.
It'll never be called a club. I don't care if somebody offers me $1 million. I'm not calling it a club. Club is the death nail of anything that is going to be useful. So sorry,
I could trigger you. I knew I could trigger you.
Sorry if you've got a club, but it's clubs. There's just too much politics and stuff that goes on. All right, in our must-have stuff for your Jeep, Extreme Tape. That's X, so you know it's legitimate. Xtreme tape. This is a silicone rubber self-fusing tape. It is 1 inch by 10 feet long. It is $7.68. This Extreme tape is a silicone rubber self-fusing. It means it sticks to itself and is thick and engineered for advanced bonding. The special silicone formula maintains flexibility and strength, reliable and durable. The Extreme Tape silicone rubber self-fusing tape is also weather resistant. It will not melt up to 260 degrees Celsius. So let's talk about God's temperature measurement, 500 degrees Fahrenheit. Good Lord, I like that number. Remains flexible down to a temperature of negative 60 degrees Fahrenheit. The tensile strength is 700 PSI. Insulates to 400 volts. And you can find it on Amazon. You just go to this episode of the Jeep Talk Show, 996 at jeeptalkshow.com, and look at the show notes. You will find a link to where on Amazon you can get this. There are reports, and it has been used to whenever you have a radiator hose burst on you, right. You can use right. this to repair that hose, and it will hold the pressure. There's nothing you have to do with zip ties, none of that stuff, because it attaches to itself. In fact, once you've attached it to itself, which is there's nothing to do other than just wrap it around the hose, you ain't getting it off there without a knife. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to unpeel on you. So this is amazing stuff and something I think you need to carry around in your Jeep just in case.
I've got a roll of it in my Jeep, Tony.
Good. I was hoping you knew about this.
For about, I don't know, for the last 4 years, I've had a roll of it. Thank God I've never had to use it, but it's one of those things. It's like the Colby valves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've had to use it. I've had to use them one time, but that one time it got us off the trail. If this tape sits in the back of my Jeep another 3 or 4 years, I don't use it, it's still good because I know I've got it if I need it to do some type of repair on the radiator was what I was thinking initially. But looking up this 400 volts, there might be a need for me to wrap some electrical too. I don't know. I don't know where I'll use it, but I've got it just in case.
So it's always a little sad when we hit the end of the trail, but there's always another trail ride just down the road. The Jeep Talk Show has 4 episodes a week, Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe and never miss an episode. And speaking of subscribing, consider keeping the Jeep Talk Show on the air by subscribing to the show via Patreon. The place to go for all the information on how to subscribe and how to contact us and, you know, be part of the community is jeeptalkshow.com/contact. Chip, thanks a lot again for being here with us as our special guest co-host. We appreciate you being here, and you've done it several times. So you know what? You know when you're asked, you know what to expect. So I'm not apologizing to you anymore.
You don't always know what to expect, Tony.
Well, that's part of the fun, yeah, right?
Thanks for true. Thanks for having me on today.
All right, have a good day. Thank you very much for being with us.
Tony, broadcasting since 2010.